Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass.
Driven with SunPass.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
Welcome into Jaguars Thursday. Jeff Loggeman alongside Tony Baselli from Everbank Field. And we're kind of in a little bit of a construction zone tonight. All the stadium construction going on has invaded our studio, so to speak. At least the water has. And so we are kind of pushed in together here with a lot of plastic around us.
And it is interesting.
Fortunately, J.P. Shadrick is not here because there would not be seating for three tonight. So we're going to have a seat for three via the phone line tonight. We're going to have John Osher join us here in just a second, and we're also going to have J.P. Shadrick join us as well. But first, let's start out with Jaguars.com senior editor John Osher, who is in Indianapolis at the 2016 NFL Combine, has been there since Monday, I believe. Good evening, Johnny.
I'm getting a ton of visuals tonight. I'm getting the sleazy agent story, and now I'm trying to picture you and Baselli on top of each other in the studio. So it's a good night for me.
It's a cozy night for me and Tony in here. The sleazy combine story, I never thought that really existed. You know, you've always heard stories about it and sleazy, unscrupulous agents. But when I got to see that.
Right out of Central Casting.
Yeah, when I got that firsthand view of it, I was going, oh, my God, it really exists.
No, well, you saw that all the time in L.A.
I was in Virginia, man. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, Johnny, I got to say.
It was a Thursday night in college for Baselli.
That's not funny. I'm a family man, John.
Johnny,
I know you are.
I must say the promo on Jaguars.com leading up to the NFL Combine might have been one of the best I have ever seen. And to describe people, if you haven't seen it, go to Jaguars.com and see if you can find the video of John Osher, dressed up in his kind of NFL Combine gear. Did you see it, Tony?
Yeah, it's disturbing.
No.
It's
shirt
tight.
Off?
It's a must-see.
Shirt off?
No, but it's tights. Johnny O in tights.
Like full tights?
Full
tights. Head to toe. And it's like, really not what you're looking
like
for.
No shorts covering?
And going through, like, yeah, no shorts covering the tights.
Ooh, that's not good. Not a good look.
Which is, going through some of the combine drills.
Not a good look for you, John. Not, listen.
No, it's
at one point in your life.
To PCAV and Dave.
At one point in your life, I'm sure you were athletic and.
Oh, it's great.
Right now is not that time.
No. No, Tony, I actually wasn't. So, I mean, like when you were describing doing push-ups earlier, I had no frame of reference.
Yeah, I was
kind of. Well, I relate one bit.
I can't wait to get on the website.
No. I was kind of thinking that it was kind of a little bit of a Rich Eisen thing, but it was way better than anything Rich Eisen has ever
done.
Well,
Rich Eisen does it in the entire suit and runs the 40, and they time him, and I don't think he's broken 6 seconds yet.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. The same day we shot that video, I was asked to participate in a Rich Eisen video type of thing with Jackson DeVille and a member of the Roar. And I begged out because my left knee is not great. But the real reason is I didn't want to lose.
What?
And I surely would have lost to the Roar.
So what drills did you do, John?
Well, I faked doing there's a start where I actually did a 40-yard dash for about 10 yards. I did a cone drill, Tony. Three cone drill, I believe it's called.
Okay.
Which I'm really good at. We didn't do any lifting, but I did a little high jump thing where you whack at the stick. Did that.
That's the vertical.
It's all there. Yeah,
so,
vertical.
Yeah, so how did you feel the next day? How sore were you when you woke up the next morning?
Well, had we done it all out the way it's perceived on video, I would have been very sore. But I was fine.
That's great.
I'm much more athletic than you think, Tony.
Did your wife beg you to never put on those tights again?
Well, over the weekend, I showed her the video. And, you know, she's seen other Ozone videos, so she has some idea of what we do. But when she saw the tights, her reaction was, oh, my God. And as it went forward, she just kept saying, oh, no, a lot. And it wasn't, oh, no, in any sort of a positive way.
Oh, I loved it, Johnny. I thought you did a great job, man. You played it up.
Well, I appreciate that. Credit to PCAV and Dave, the video guys, because you know, I'm just out there doing stuff, but they do a great job putting stuff like that together.
Yeah, but you're the one who wore the tights, because I would not have worn the tights.
But, you know, that sort of thing, completely, you know, humiliating myself, really not a big step for me.
That's your strength.
Yeah, not a big leap.
All right, so, John.
You blocked, I do that.
Couple days under your belt in Indianapolis. Big picture, what's the big piece of information that you've come away with from the first couple days?
Well, specific to the Jaguars or specific to the combine?
Let's go both. Let's start with the Jaguars.
Well, you know, the Jaguars, it was interesting today to hear them talk a little bit about the possibility of Brandon Linder playing center. You know, that's kind of been kicked around a little bit, but they hadn't really discussed it publicly. So there's that. And I guess talking to Dave Caldwell on a couple of occasions today, it's interesting that I think when they start looking at free agency, I think the reality is that the market, even though they have a lot to spend, that there may not quite be the market there that maybe they had hoped. And Dave said, definitely we'll be able to get better. But the reality is, with this cap going up around the league, that there may not be the splash free agent that people are really hoping about. So I think that was my big takeaway today, is this guy's got a tough task in front of him, and he's good at it. He can bring in guys. You know, Julius Thomas and Jared Odrick were good catches last year. But it's going to be a tough, tough battle those first couple of days of free agency to improve this defense.
Well, you saw that even this week, John, because I think everyone in Denver would look at the Broncos situation, thought once they're going to have to franchise Von Miller, which they still might have to, but with doing that, having to sign Brock Osweiler, that there was no way they could sign a Malik Jackson. And then the report comes that they offered him 10 a year.
Who? Malik Jackson?
Yeah, the Broncos offered Malik Jackson 10 a year with the idea of still signing Von Miller and Brock Osweiler.
But if you're Malik Jackson...
Oh, you're going to wait.
Absolutely.
No, and he said he's going to wait. Right. But to John's point, so now all of a sudden, if you're Dave Caldwell, and I don't even know if Malik Jackson's a target, but if he is, the floor is $10 million a year.
Yeah, that's where you're starting at.
And that's probably a much higher number than anyone thought Malik Jackson would have gotten if this cap didn't go up the way it is.
Yeah, at some point, they're just going to have to close their eyes and write the check.
That's right.
You know, but to y'all's point, I think the same story has happened in Miami with Olivier Vernon. You know, people assumed all year that he was going to be free and out there.
Well, he might still
be. And now the more you hear, maybe not be.
Johnny, I don't
see...
Why
would you sign if you're one of those guys?
I don't see any way possible that Olivier Vernon doesn't get to free agency, because the Dolphins don't have... Their cap's a mess. With Ndamukong Suh's contract, they don't really have any options.
Well,
yeah, they're talking about franchising him, though.
Yeah, but I don't know if they can do that.
Well, if Sue restructures, they can, especially, which he will, especially with the cap going up so much. But if you're a free agent right now, and you don't get franchised, there's no reason to sign with your team, because the numbers are going to be huge.
And that's what Dave said today off to the side when we were talking to him. He doesn't think there's going to be a whole lot more guys sign with their teams than have already signed right now.
That's right.
The lure of testing the market's going to be there. Now, he said there will be guys get franchised, you know, and get taken off the market that way. But, you know, it's not impossible. I think it's a tougher task than maybe what they thought it was going to be this time last year, looking ahead to this year.
Well, and John, you said it earlier, and we kind of alluded to it. Every year you have to overpay in free agency.
That's what it is.
But this year it might even be bigger than ever because of how much cap space is out there for everybody.
Yeah, it sounds like that.
I mean, it could be one of those – remember early in free agency, 95, 96, those early years where you would see – no, but early it wasn't until teams got into salary cap. It got tight in 98, 99. Mm-hmm. But those early years, remember the deals people would get? And you're like, oh, my gosh. I mean, just outrageous. I mean, look at the two deals that didn't get done here in Spellman and Coriat that everyone thought were
Coriat
were giant deals, and their teams matched.
And Gilbert Brown, I think, happened the same way.
Gilbert Brown.
I mean, they were guys like that. Yep.
Just giant deals. And I think you're going to see, I think you see that lately. You've seen it, but I think it's going to be bigger than ever just because of how much cap space there is.
And I would say that one thing, one area is really going to balloon this year. It's the guaranteed money part. I mean, because because of the amount of cash that teams have to spend, that's the one factor that I think really would entice a player is the guaranteed money. You know, so
no question.
You know, so you better, you know, the Jaguars have what, like $75 million in cap room, and the
it's probably more than that. They have 36 carrying over from last year.
I think it's around 75.
Whatever it goes up.
I think it's around 75. But I mean, if you're gonna attract a free agent guy, and if the player has any sense whatsoever, the guaranteed money's got to be a big factor.
Well, just to give everyone a little bit perspective, and Johnny, correct me if I'm wrong, but the entire cap in 1995 was about $75
million. I read that today, and that's my recollection, yeah.
So the amount of space the Jaguars have left over is the same amount that the entire cap was in 95.
All right, yeah, so it's insane.
Big picture thing that you've taken away around the league in the first couple of days of the combine, Johnny.
It's been offensive guys coming in for the most part so far. A little bit that the wide receiver class is not nearly as good as it was in the last couple of years. I guess it sort of relates to the Jaguars a little bit, that this is not as strong as an offensive draft as it is a defensive draft. And, you know, Dave Caldwell, not surprisingly, planned accordingly. I mean, they drafted heavy offense the last couple of years with the idea of drafting defense this year. Looks like a stronger defensive draft for that reason. They've got 8 picks, so that's good. I mean, I'm still sort of relating to the Jaguars a little bit because I've been Jaguars all the time today because they both talk today. But, I mean, that's kind of my impression, is that this is a real good year to need defensive players, and the Jaguars do.
Speaking of offensive players, though, and because that's all you've really seen so far,
sure.
How does Tunzel, the tackle who might be the first overall pick by the Tennessee
Larry
Titans,
Tunzel,
yeah, from Ole Miss, look?
Well, he reminds me a little bit. I always tell people, Tony, that when I walked onto the practice field and you were playing, you could never really tell if you were all the way across the field from you. You didn't look 6'7", 325, or whatever you weighed. You know, you looked proportional. Sort of the same deal. I mean, this kid is an impressive physical guy that does not look his size, which I think is good because it means you're athletic. It means that you're comfortable within your own weight and height. He looks like that. I mean, he's a really impressive guy to watch, really. I mean, very at ease in front of the media. That's what we see here. He has all those looks like he wouldn't be uncomfortable being rolled out as the top pick of a franchise, number one overall pick. You know, it hasn't happened since 97, but it sure sounds like it could with this guy. I mean, he looks like the real deal. Interesting if he would be at 5. I don't think he will be, but it would be an interesting choice for this team.
All right, Johnny, last question here before we let you go. The quarterbacks that are at the combine, are they all intending to work out?
My understanding is they are, and I could be wrong on that because I haven't really paid much attention to the quarterbacks, but I haven't heard that they're not. So I'm 90% sure they are. Very interesting class on that bunch because it really feels like three guys who probably, if there were other strong quarterbacks, wouldn't be top 10 guys, but there's going to be that need and that pressure to pick quarterbacks high. So you're probably going to see these guys overdrafted. That doesn't mean that they can't be great players, but it sure sets up as a year where teams are going to reach on guys hoping they're right at that position. That doesn't always work out. It'll be an interesting position to watch this year.
Sorry about that, John. I was surprised to hear what Mayock said, though, about the kid from North Dakota State. Wentz is his name?
Yeah, Carson Wentz.
Wentz. He compared him to
Andrew Luck
in arm strength. He said he's more athletic than Andrew Luck, that the only thing – that is separating him and why he's not getting as much buzz is because he played at a small school.
Yeah, and he couched that a little bit by saying that. I was on the conference call when he said it. You know, it still didn't feel to me like Mike was saying this guy's going to be Andrew Luck. He said, look, athletically and some things and some traits, he has that. Well, I'm not sure that a lot of people haven't. That doesn't mean you're going to be able to read defenses and play that position with that sort of innate, you know, feel that you've got to have. But trait-wise, he did say that, and trait-wise, he's an impressive kid. But as we all know, there's a lot more than that at that position.
A heck of a lot more. Well, thank you, Johnny, so much. More to come on Jaguars.com. You guys have plenty to come up in the next couple of days, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We have Gus Bradley on Jaguars.com live tomorrow. I believe it's at noon. And as you guys know, that's always great. When you got Gus on the show, it's never bad.
Cool. Thank you, Johnny.
All right, guys. I enjoyed it. Thank you all.
Folks, SunPass is a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today when we return. J.P. Shadrick, right here on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. Welcome back to Jaguars Thursday. We return to Indianapolis to get the, I guess you could say, the other half of Jaguars.com Live. J.P. Shadrick is in Indianapolis as well with Johnny O, covering the NFL Combine and also from the Jaguars standpoint. What's happening, J.P.?
What's up, Logs? I'm standing here on the field at Lucas Oil Stadium right now. It's empty, and the stadium lights are on. Of course, the doors are closed because there is some light snow outside, and it is very, very quiet in here. The media center is closed for the day at 6 o'clock, so I'm standing here right by the broad jump measurement right now, but I'm not going to do it on the air.
Well, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Are you trespassing?
No.
Are you supposed to be there?
I haven't been told to not be here.
Okay.
So I'm going to stay here as long as they there's nobody here to tell me to not be here. So that's how empty it is.
Okay, any reason you are there by yourself right now?
Well, I was waiting to talk to you guys.
Okay, good. All
right,
JP, let's make sure.
Here's what I want you to do, okay?
Run a 40 right now.
Go to the broad jump, okay, and move the lines, okay? If they got a tape measure there, slide the tape measure over a couple feet, and then over at the vertical jump thing, change the marks on the adjustable pole, which tells you how high it is, so everybody can look like they're jumping through the roof.
It's a great idea. I might spike the water cooler while I'm at it.
There you go.
You know, just that'll really make quite a combine scene tomorrow, I think. Yeah, it's cool though because this is definitely closed to the public. It's open only team personnel, only all the suites and everything. So inside the stadium, there's nobody here. There's scouts and team personnel, and then inside the media center, which is in the East Club underneath. I think there are 1,200 credentialed media this year, which is incredible, the highest they've ever had. They had to expand the tables down the hallway this year. There's actually rumor of them moving the media center next year across the street to the convention center.
Yeah.
So, because it just keeps growing and growing and growing.
Well, it's certainly gotten big. And I think one of the things that I appreciate most about the NFL Combine, and I think from watching Gus and Dave on Jaguars.com today, is how much more relaxed the general managers and the coaches are at the NFL Combine. And I don't want to say completely transparent, but they're very open and honest from all appearances.
Yeah, and it's a good time to really kind of set the tone. That, not that they haven't already at the end of the season, but you've had a couple of months to digest some things in your own organization, and you have a better idea moving forward of what's going to happen in the next couple of months with free agency coming up March 9th. That, of course, will be a big deal for the Jags. They're not going to tell you all their secrets, of course, their state secrets, but you have a better idea of how to push the envelope a little bit forward in the next coming months. And it starts with this. It's one of the only real big nationally covered events of this offseason where you can get out in front of everybody and set the narrative to what you want it to be. And I think that's why it's so key.
I know that you guys had General Manager Dave Caldwell on Jaguars.com Live today.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he also had his day at the podium where he spoke for, 15 minutes or so. From the time that he spent with you guys on Jaguars.com Live, what did you come away with that information-wise that you kind of went, that's good to know?
nothing really groundbreaking new today. You know, he's always been a draft first guy, and I think he understands the, you know, this is going to be a big free agency year. It has to be by finances. I think you have to spend some money, so you got to do it. You might as well find the right guys to do it. That was what he said today. It's fun to have all that money to spend in the cap, right? But the challenge is finding the right guys to spend it on. And he said today on the show with us, it's almost like buying a new car, right? You pay the premium dollar for it, and then it may devalue a little bit over time once you get it home finally. You know, once you drive it off the lot, it's not as expensive as it might have been before, or something to that effect. So same kind of idea here with him, but that's nothing really groundbreaking new. There was some talk earlier today with Gus Bradley. You know, there's the idea of moving different guys over to center. You know, we've heard about A.J. Cann, a possibility to move over to center. Well, today, Gus Bradley was talking about Brandon Linder possibly moving over. I think that was the most interesting of the day.
Let me kind of explain that a little bit, because, you know, Gus didn't bring that up on his own about Brandon Linder being moved to center. Somebody asked the question that Dave Caldwell had mentioned it, so I don't want people to think that Dave and Gus are offering out to the public that it's a possibility. And, JP, as far as General Manager Dave Caldwell talking about the amount of cap space, I want to play this clip to let everybody kind of hear it from his mouth of what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And here's Dave.
Sure. The fun is to know that you have it, and you have it at your disposal if you need it. The challenge is to be able to find the players to spend it on. I guess you just can't, you know, create players to spend it on. And, you know, the nature of free agency is you're going to overpay, and if you want a player, you're going to have to overpay to get them. And it's just the nature of the beast, and there's a limited talent pool of players, and there seems to be a large pool of money this year, especially in North Florida.
And then there is the general manager talking about the amount of cap room that they have. And JP, I would make one recommendation. I want to see if you can get this done, because, you know, Gus Bradley mm-hmm. went to the podium today, and there was no background interruptions from a PA system. But then when the general manager, Dave Caldwell, goes up to the podium, all of a sudden you hear this lady on the PA system. Can you get that fixed tomorrow?
She was loading the flight. Getting ready to take off.
Yeah, it does sound like an airport. You know, it's interesting because early, Gus Bradley was at 10:30 in the morning, but that's so early in the day, at least here, that not many players are rolling through for other interviews. So they don't have a schedule for the players. So whenever they're done with their medical evaluations or whatever, they come upstairs just whenever. Well, most of those aren't done until a little later in the day. And, of course, when Dave gets up there at 2:30, there's like seven in a row, back to back to back, and everybody's trying to catch up by the end of the day at, you know, 5 o'clock when the players are done with the media. So that's why he had more announcements behind it. I remember, what was this? 2 years ago, I guess, I think Gus was later in the day. And during the middle of Gus, they announced, here comes John Manziel, Texas A&M. And everybody runs to the other side of the room because Manziel is storming there. And then another quarterback came in while Manziel was there. So it's a free-for-all in the afternoons.
Oh, Lord. That was good stuff, though. You know, and I really enjoyed watching both Gus and Dave at the podium day, and that was on Jaguars.com. And I know that you guys have a lot going on Jaguars.com, and you have since basically the first part of the week. What have you guys done that people can watch on Jaguars.com, and what do you have coming up?
Of course, go back and watch the archives of Jaguars.com Live. We had Pete Frisco and Bucky Brooks, your former teammate, on day one here. And then, of course, today, Dave Caldwell, inside the Jaguars both days. And actually coming up a little later in the week, we'll have behind-the-scenes access inside the Jaguars suite. Dave Caldwell gave us a tour of what the heck happens in a suite. I mean, it's just a suite, you know. It's nothing special, but an idea of what happens during the testing here.
They have good food up there? Good food up in the suite?
Well, they didn't when we taped it today, but they will, I think, another day. I'm going to try to sneak back up there and steal some nachos, I think.
Very good. That's just what you need.
That's exactly what I'm looking for. I'll eat one for you, Tony. And then we go across the street to the Crown Plaza where they do the official interviews, and got a behind-the-scenes look at that with Mark Ellens, the director of college scouting, and what goes into the process there. So plenty coming up, plenty on the site now from John Osier, of course, and we're here through Saturday. We're coming back home Saturday, so check it out all week long.
Hey, JP, you know, the one video that really impressed me this week, and I was talking about it with Johnny O, me and Tony were commenting on it, was the combine prep video that ran of Johnny O wearing tights.
Well, that's impressive. What's impressive about it? I don't understand.
That any man would do that.
And it was in high definition, too.
That's a problem.
It's a problem no matter the definition, and it's tough enough when he's not wearing that kind of stuff. So,
how come we didn't see J.P. Shadrick in tights doing that?
Well, I mean, the reasons are fairly obvious. I mean, look at me, first off, and then
yeah, but look at second, John. Look at John.
No, I don't want to look at John, Jeff. Okay, I don't. I look at him enough as it is. I think the day they shot that stuff, I was at another event or something was going on. Some excuse, fill in the blank excuse. I didn't do it. So.
Well, I'm glad you didn't do it either because I don't want to see you in tights.
When are you going to do it, Tony?
I got another 20 pounds and I'll do it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get you in the tights and run you around, do the 40 and all that. So.
All right, JP. Enjoy your time. Don't eat too much shrimp cocktail with the cocktail sauce while you're there.
It's a big night for St. Elmo's. I probably won't make it there, but it's a big night there nonetheless. And, yeah, it's been a fun week here, and we're looking forward to another couple of big days here in Indy. So, yeah, check it out on Jaguars.com. And thanks for holding down the fort, guys.
All right, JP, there's not another seat for you in here anyway, so you couldn't have been in here tonight.
That's the rumor.
Yeah.
It's true.
It is true.
A lot of plastic
awesome.
In here.
We'll get it back next week. How's that?
That'll work. Thank you, JP.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, and have been proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. When we return, more Jaguars Thursday right here with Jeff Loggeman and Tony Buscelli on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
And SunPass is a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia or North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. How come I'm doing all the reading?
Joe just made the sign to. I'm actually, for whatever reason, I feel fine, but I was glad I could even talk today. I woke up yesterday morning and had no voice. I mean, zero voice. I'm like,
what?
I don't know. I said no voice. I mean, some congestion, maybe the pollen or something. I don't
know. Oh, yeah. Have you?
But I've never had allergies my entire life, but maybe something this year. I woke up. I literally couldn't talk all day.
We had that little bit of rain earlier in the week, and I don't know if you noticed the puddles that might be around in the streets. And we're not talking about the puddles here in the studio, but the puddles out on the streets, they were just surrounded, basically covered in green from the pollen. The pine trees, the oak trees.
I'll let you do all the reads tonight just because the voice is a little scratchy.
I got you. Did you by chance happen to see the Dante Fowler video that was on TMZ?
The referee video?
Yeah, where they had the girls fighting. I guess it was the mother of his child and then his girlfriend that got into
it. It's two women that he's involved with emotionally.
Yes. Wasn't good.
Well, listen. Here's the deal. I mean, there's nothing illegal about what he did. I mean, he didn't hit anybody. I want to make sure it's clear because when you first, like, read the headlines or see these on Twitter, you could be led to think that he did something physically wrong.
No,
there's no physical.
I said it wasn't good. I meant the video quality kind of stopped. I wanted it to be more higher def and have video instead. It kind of goes to like, still pictures.
Yeah, my point is saying that is there
it's the truth.
But it was a bad situation for him and his family.
The only thing that he did that I thought that wasn't good was it was almost like he said, and you're kind of trying to determine what he's saying because you're just reading body language.
No, he basically said, let's go.
There's no audio. Yeah, go ahead.
Fight on. I'll just sit and watch and make sure it's a fair fight.
Yeah.
Which it just puts him in a bad light, and I'm sure he's embarrassed, and he made the comment that's not what he wants to represent. And there's obviously a family dynamic going on between the mother of his child and his current girlfriend or fiance, whatever she is.
Here's the most important
thing. It's a tough situation.
It's not good, but it's not good for the child. I mean, that's my point. They got to figure it out.
It's not good for anyone in this situation, but I just want to make sure everyone understands there's nothing. He did nothing illegal.
No. Did nothing illegal. It just doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good. It's not okay. Should have handled it better, but he did nothing illegal.
And here's General Manager Dave Caldwell's comments from earlier today at the NFL Combine on Dante Fowler.
From the information that we have, I don't expect much to come of it. You know, we stand by our statement from that we released that, you know, there's no place for violence in the NFL or in society. So Dante's a great kid. He's got a great spirit about him. He's a young person. He's going to learn, you know, how to handle situations. And I think for the most part moving forward, I think, you know, he's been doing the right things, and I think he's going to continue to do the right things.
He's a nice guy, but the video just didn't look good. But,
you know what, Jeff? Let's be honest, too. It doesn't look good, especially in the atmosphere and the culture we are in right now where domestic violence is highlighted. And it should be. I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but it was. I don't want to discount it, but it wasn't a man hitting a woman.
No.
It was two women fighting. Unfortunately, it happens every day. You know, men fight, women fight. You know, I'm just, you know, the worst for me, and maybe it's all the same to everyone else. Where I have like, so that happened. I look at it, it's like, okay, not great, but listen, it's not the end of the world. Hopefully no one got hurt, and hope they can settle it.
Yeah, hopefully they
learn from it. But
three.
Where the non-negotiable to me is, where I have no tolerance, is when a man hits a woman.
Yeah.
And so I just want – I mean, sometimes – and what I get worried about sometimes is, like, we cloud all these things and make it all equal. It's not. It's different. What happened on that video is not okay, but it's not the end of the world. I mean, yeah. Hope they figure it out. Like what you said is the best thing. It's tough on the child involved if those dynamics continue.
Yep.
You know, I mean,
that's got to get.
It's like
out.
This. I mean, you grew up having a brother. My guess is you guys got some fist fights.
Well, it was usually me on the receiving end of it.
Right, I got two boys. They get fist fights. One gets his rear end kicked every time. The younger brother always loses. It's not. I'm not saying it's okay, but it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bad situation because they're more adults and they're grown, and you don't want to see that. And I think Dante doing it over would have stepped in and broken it up immediately.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He'll learn from it. But I get worried when we try to lump all this in and, you know, TMZ and the national media and the NFL said we're looking into it. What are you looking into? What are you looking into?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that we're comment because, you know
what? What are you looking into? It's two adult women that had a fight. He should have broken up. He didn't. But he did nothing wrong. I mean, he did not do anything illegal. There's nothing to look into. That's like a video of my two boys
fighting.
But you
know what the NFL does, Tony, a lot of times.
So you're telling me if my two boys were fighting – and I sat there and saw it. Because I'll be honest with you, I've let my boys fight sometimes. Let them. Because guess what? The younger one keeps on picking at the older one, and I tell the younger one to stop, and Adam doesn't. And I say, Adam, I'm going to let Andrew go if you don't stop. And he doesn't stop. I said, go at it. Now I break it up when it gets dangerous, but I said, go at it. Now, so if that were to happen on video and I was sitting there watching it. Is the NFL?
Oh, it wouldn't look good for you.
I have a problem with that. I'll parent my kids how I think's best. As long as I do nothing illegal, and that's not illegal.
You know what the NFL does in a situation like this, though? They wet their finger and stick it up in the air.
That's what I don't like. Just
they want to see which way the wind's blowing.
That's the problem.
To determine what their reaction is a lot of times.
Saying, guess what? It's an unfortunate video. We hope that Dante and his family can figure it out and that no one got hurt. What are you investigating? It's not your job, NFL, to investigate every situation. Now, if it was a man hitting a woman and it was a player doing that, get involved and deal with it. If it was one of your players beating up another individual, the LeSean McCoy situation.
Yeah, then you got to do your due diligence.
Due diligence. Two people, and Dante was sitting there. He should have stepped in, but he didn't. I mean, come on.
They should have ended it up. They should have made a short statement and then just closed it up.
Should have said, we wish the best for Dante.
That's right. Get the latest transportation news and information on the award-winning Making Movies TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month at 12:30 p.m. on WJXT Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. When we return, a look around the National Football League and where they were hiding some money. That and more on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
Check out the Hanania Automotive Group. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings. Welcome back to Jaguars Thursday, and we have to send out a congratulations to Katie Vaughn and her husband,
Anthony.
Anthony are the proud parents
second
of a
second little boy.
Second one, and Caden Asher Vaughn, born yesterday at 3:04 p.m., 7 pounds, 8 ounces, and a staggering 20 inches long.
Well, just to give everyone a little, Katie is Dan Edwards' assistant, I guess is the best way to say it. Like, handles one of the PR assistants.
Dan Edwards is the senior vice president of communications and media.
She works in the communications.
Yep.
And she works a lot with us.
And she does a great job.
Provides us a lot of information and helps us a ton. I know she helps me a lot. And the second little boy came, and she's been getting ready to burst for
she's
a while
been
now.
Ready, yep.
And wishing her and Anthony all the best.
Congratulations to the two of you, all the three of you.
Four,
now you got a new one, and then you got a brother.
Yep.
All right, so it's all good. Now it's time to take a look around the National Football League. And earlier when we were talking to Johnny O, John Osher, senior editor of Jaguars.com, and Tony and I were talking with him about how the cap is going up, and there's going to be a lot of teams to have money to spend. Well, the cap is going up more than expected. Here's what happened. During an audit, okay, that the NFL and the NFLPA go through every year, what happened was, an arbitrator returned more than $100 million, supposedly it was at $120 million, to the pool that it shares with its players from the league, which was keeping it for themselves. The ruling will put an additional $50 million in the players' pockets and boost the 2016 salary cap by about $1.5 million. What happened was the league's collective bargaining agreement has rules that guide league-wide revenue and local revenue, and the players are supposed to receive 40% of the local revenues, 45% of sponsorship, and 55% of media revenues. This total is pooled and divided, which is now the league generates its annual salary cap number by. But during the audit, the lawyers and accountants from the NFLPA discovered that over the past 3 years, the NFL had filed nearly $120 million in local revenues under a category titled Waived Gate, one which it said was not required to share. NFLPA filed a grievance in January, and last week the arbitrator Stephen Burbank ruled in the union's favor. That's a pretty big fine.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, it's basically the cap is made up of all the different categories you talked about, and the players get a certain percentage of each, and the owners, you know, it's all how you label the money. And so, you know, it's all revenue coming in, but each has a different label, or you can color it different colors, and they tried to put a color or a label on it that excluded,
they tried to hide $120 million,
excluded the players from getting anything of it, and they got caught.
Busted. So, in other news, the Denver Broncos, which everybody is following this fairly closely because of the impending free agents that they have, the defensive players, Von Miller,
Malik Jackson,
and a lot of people are waiting to see what would happen with Peyton Manning, because some people think that Peyton Manning's situation would have an impact on whether they can re-sign one or both of these players. John Elway said that he spoke with Peyton Manning this week, but was given no indication as to what Peyton Manning may do. What should he do?
Retire.
Absolutely. I think he should retire. I think he'd go out just like John did, on top, when his skills have clearly diminished.
Is it going to get any better for him this year? I mean, what can he do? I mean,
because you got to make a decision about Brock Osweiler too, right?
Right, that's my point. And so the best for the organization is for him to retire. Now, I get it, but if you're John Elway and if Peyton says he wants to come back, you cut
him. What do
you do? I mean, can you bring him back? And
should you? Based on how he played this past year,
I'd be really concerned, man. No, I don't think I would. And that's hard to say because I'm a Peyton Manning fan. I think he's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. But based on what we saw this year, that was a team that won because of the defense and Peyton making good decisions down the line, but not because of his physical
ability. No, I think it's a perfect timing to do much like Jared Allen did.
Right off into
the sunset with a Super Bowl ring and a second Lombardi trophy to add to your resume. One last thing here. Supposedly, according to NFL media's Rand Getlin, he's reported that Colin Kaepernick's agents have requested permission from the San Francisco 49ers to seek a trade.
Who's going to trade for Colin Kaepernick? Honestly, who?
That's a great question, because here's the other thing. Not only was his performance poor, but he had three surgeries from the time that he stopped playing last year up until now. Three surgeries. And then you add that to the fact that he didn't play very well, and then Blaine Gabbert started playing and was playing better than he did when he was playing. It's not a very good mix.
Well, the other rumor is that Trent Baalke also might try to bring in RG3. You know, RG3, Kaepernick, and Blaine Gabbert, Blaine Gabbert for that Chip Kelly offense. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, but if you bring in RG3, how long would he last?
That's why you need all those other guys.
You better have Kaepernick, RG3, and Blaine Gabbert on that roster.
Well, that's what they're saying. Sign them all.
All three of them. And you know what? You can probably afford all three of them, because Kaepernick's contract is, it's not bad. He signed a below market value deal. Blaine Gabbert's cheap. And RG3, well, he may not be so cheap. We'll talk to everybody next week, same time, same place, right here on Jaguars Thursday.